This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And the sous chef of the garden, yours truly, Franklin Proctor.
Good morning,
Good
Franklin.
Good morning to you, Charlie, and all the rest of our folks out there listening in. On a, what is a good-looking Saturday morning. Look at blue skies out there, right, and some of the clouds.
If you look west, it's quite black.
There is
some snow coming, apparently.
Now I turn around and look out over Liberty Street. And it is, as you say, a little dark toward that area.
But it's not spring yet. We're still winter, so stay calm.
A couple more days. I was just telling poor Charlie. Poor Charlie.
Poor Shirley.
Yeah. She did a massive cleanup in the basement day before yesterday.
Which was timely, by the sounds of it.
Because the next morning, I was out at the gym early. And when I came home, or at least I met her for coffee at 8 o'clock in the morning, she walked in and her face was just looked like she was ready to cry. Mm-hmm. I said, what's the matter? She said, we've got a flood. Oh. And oh my God, we're about 2 inches of water in the entire basement. Had to have a plumber come in. Good guy. Shout out to Wade.
Yeah, sounds like
Watertight Plumbing.
He did some good things, though.
Oh my God. Well, he put in a sump pump. I can't believe it's never been there before, but it hadn't. And
well, I guess there's a lot of liquid. Well, the sun thawed, but the ground is still frozen.
And so there's nowhere for that water to go.
And the design of the place you live in has a low sitting garage, obviously on basement.
And high water table. Oh, boy. Yeah. So, I mean, we're not alone.
No.
A lot of people, and of course, a lot of folks around. Oh, with the Humber River, the ice flow and so forth, they're moving people out of there,
saying
you can't stay in the house, you know, if it's, dangerous. Anyway.
But we can still talk about wonderful things like that spring is in the air.
Yeah, that's right.
Spring starts, I believe, on Wednesday.
You got it. Yeah. Let me get the phone numbers on the air. That's my job, really, basically. In Toronto.
Your only job.
My only job, really. You're right. 416-360-0740. And then anywhere in the province, it is toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. Our little mantra goes this way: call early, call often, one question per call. And if you happen to be a first-time caller, please let Sebastian, our operator, know. And then just before you get to the airwaves, you're going to hear that. That's your little
wings.
Thank you. Garden wings.
That's the magic of the show.
Exactly.
Magic in the air.
Now, you've got not a problem this morning, but
no,
for
not
some
all.
Reason or other.
Well, just a little bit different.
Yeah.
Normally, I do get a few, sometimes many, emails via my MZ Media email or sometimes my Garden Solutions email of upcoming events, horticultural societies.
But zilch today, for some reason or other.
Yeah, nothing to report. No updates.
Yeah. So we can offer a little service here.
Yes.
If you are a member of a Hort Society. And, like within the next week or two, not, into June or anything like that. But if you got something happening kind of special, you got a special guest speaker coming in to cover whatever.
Or just
means,
a regular
a
show,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And it's the time of year we're going to start getting into plant swaps and plant sales.
Yeah.
Because, spring, Wednesday.
Yeah.
And, days are clearly longer. Everybody's getting excited to get outside. So, a couple more warm days and we'll be out there with our rakes looking for, I can see where the snow has melted on my place. Crumpled up newspapers are suddenly showing up and all kinds of silliness is emerging from beneath the ice and snow. And actually, my back patio has been a skating rink for the last 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And I keep joking with the cats when they go out, put your skates on before you go, right?
Yeah.
And suddenly, yesterday, I see stone.
Yeah,
the ice is gone on the back patio.
Yeah,
so it melted
goodness.
And it moved away.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? I'm looking at our monitor here, and I see we have a caller, a first-time caller on the line.
Nice.
So let's take our first little break now and then come back and say hi to Anne, who's waiting on the line ever so patiently from Toronto, right here. It's The Garden Show on the air from Zoomer Radio.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
All righty, Charlie, let's introduce Anne to the audience here. Anne, I know, lives in Toronto. At least I assume she is calling from Toronto. And first-time caller, so... Hey, there
Excellent.
You go, Anne.
Welcome.
Hi, Anne.
Thanks. I feel like Tinkerbell.
You can flit around just like Tinkerbell for sure.
I wish I could. I have a very big yew bush. I think it's a yew, an evergreen bush in front of my house. Mm-hmm. And the last couple of years, I didn't have somebody to come and trim it. And it's gotten really high, like over 5 feet, quite really wide, like across my arm breadth, and I want to know how brutal can I be when I trim it, and when can I trim it?
Okay, so the nice thing about yews is you can be quite brutal.
Yeah.
Unlike, now, assuming it is a yew, I guess one of the easy ways to tell, number one, the little needles on it are not sharp. They're soft, right? There's
okay.
no pointiness.
Uh-huh.
They're also short. The little needles on yews are roughly a centimeter, half an inch long. The best thing about a yew, though, is that you can literally be brutal. Now, it's obviously a fairly old plant. It's overgrown. And this happens. Plants like this just get bigger and bigger. And before you know it, it's not in proportion with our house anymore. So the shrub is too big and the house suddenly looks like a dollhouse. Mm-hmm. And keeping these plants in proportion to each other and to the buildings around them is important. Best time to do the trimming is just before and around the time where we're seeing the active growth. When that will be, it might be May, might be June, depends when spring happens, right? So it might be early June, mid-June. So never remove more than one-third of a plant at any one time, just because it's too shocking to the plant. But you can be quite brutal with a yew because it will sprout back with new growth off of old, barky, wooden stems and trunks.
Mm-hmm.
Most evergreens won't do that, but yews will.
Okay, so it could, because if I were to take off like the third, I mean, I wouldn't have any green left, basically.
Yeah, and you don't want to leave it with absolutely no green because that would be so shocking that the plant would likely die.
Mm-hmm.
So then you'd have to say, okay, you can also make it a two-part pruning process in this season coming.
Uh-huh.
So you could, you know, particularly if it's got branches that are interfering with a walkway or getting in the front door or something like that, or covering a window. So sort of look at the plant, say, okay, why don't I take off this portion that's really bugging me as my first portion, which won't be as much as a third, but, you know, might be, say, a quarter of the plant.
Yeah.
And then a month later, because in that month, a whole bunch of new growth is going to sprout, finish off the job in the sense of making it look balanced to get through the rest of this season. And then next spring, same thing again. And just, it's a process, taking it back to looking good again. Or what I've often had to ask clients to do in the past is, you know, there is a time, like plants, particularly landscape foundation plants, plants around our foundation, they do have a limited time frame. We accept that it makes sense to paint our dining rooms every 20 years minimum just to freshen them up. And it's the same with landscape plants. If they haven't been pruned and maintained properly, sometimes they just have to come out just to freshen up the garden and get some fresh, new, proportional stuff in there.
It's gotten so high, like it's if I walk there between the house and I've got like those patio stones between the house foundation and this bush.
Mm-hmm.
But it's gotten so high, like somebody could hide there.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I like something there because the basement windows are there.
Right, so you've got the privacy for the basement.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, so, but of course the basement's down low, the windows, so there's no reason in the world why the height of that yew can't come down, because there's a safety issue for sure, you know, around our doors and windows.
Right.
So you don't want to set up hiding spots or for anybody, homeless people, to move in, right? You want to have it so that it's fresh and clean and open and safe.
And all the raccoons and the skunks.
Yeah. And then there's the birds. They'll make nests and stuff, too. So, yeah, I mean, you can't, I wouldn't fight the wildlife, but I do think safety should always be a priority, particularly at our front doors where we're going in and out. We shouldn't have to be, you know, checking behind our backs before we open the door.
Right. Okay.
All right. So,
great. Thanks very much.
You're very welcome. Yeah, so don't be afraid to do that pruning, but maybe do it in a two-part process this season.
Yeah.
Well, this is what I sort of thought, like, you know, like because it's so wide, like maybe do the one half towards the front first, you know, cut that down and maybe a foot or so.
Yeah.
And then you know, I was thinking that would be possible. Okay.
Yeah, and remember that to keep, this is always a bit of a challenge for plants when we do pruning. We are wounding them. Mm-hmm. So recognize that you are doing that to the plant and make sure you get some nice fresh compost to get around the base of the plant, mm-hmm. not touching the stem at all, but just the soil around that plant is probably quite empty of nutrient and organic matter because it's an old plant.
And, and your pruner should be really clean.
Clean and sharp.
And sharp,
and
yes.
Do all your pruning on a dry day. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Supplementing, amending the soil is always a good idea when we're doing this kind of work.
Right. Okay, great.
Okay. Hey, Anne, thanks for being a first-time caller. Don't be afraid to come back, huh?
Don't be a stranger.
Yeah, exactly. As a matter of fact, I'm glancing up at our monitor here, Charlie, and I see we have another Anne on the line, this time from Haldimand County, but we have to take another little break here. And Anne in Haldimand County, you hang tight there. We'll be back to talk to you in just moments here on Zoomer Radio.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stalks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And to our listener in Haldimand County, is that Anne with an E?
That's right, Anne
hey,
with an E.
Good stuff.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
What's going on?
I'm calling to say I'd like to plant some more evergreens, but I want something that's going to last really well, long-lived, and what'll survive in the horrible Haldimand clay.
Well, what evergreens have you got growing there now?
I have Austrian pines, but they're kind of gradually going.
Yeah,
and I called you once before about them, wondering if maybe the fertilizer from the farms around us was doing it. You didn't think so. You thought they had lived their lifespan.
Yeah, they are a short-lived plant, and they are susceptible to many diseases. So don't be planting any more Austrian pines.
Right.
Right. So you're looking for tall, like they grow like a big tall pine?
I'm very open because I have lots of room here. I have 1.5 acres.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So, and of course, evergreens are so perfect if you've got a side of your yard that's on the northwest side of your home now you don't do any planting close to the home, but blocking that northwest wind in the winter is an excellent way to save on heating costs.
I'm working on it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And you know what comes to my mind? Fast-growing, long-lived Norway spruce.
Norway spruce?
Yeah, fast-growing, long-lived, and tall. Of course, everybody loves the Colorado blue spruce.
Yeah,
which, I know.
Mm-hmm.
Gives
you that, it's not as fast-growing as the Norway.
Right.
But the spruces will do reasonably well in a clay soil.
Okay.
A native evergreen would be a hemlock, and hemlocks are pretty amenable. They don't like being in super wet spots, so if you've got they'll handle the clay. They just want to sit in a soggy spot. But hemlock is a native plant, lovely. And again, soft, needled, gets very tall, and can be pruned, et cetera, to make it more dense if it's not, you know, at first, if it's all a bit open and you want to make it a more dense plant, you can do shearing on hemlocks, no problem.
Okay, that sounds good because I have no shelter from the wind in any direction because the farms around me are all set back from the road. So I'm like an island.
Right.
No matter which way the wind comes from, I get it.
Right. So, it's absolutely a great idea for you. You're a perfect candidate for getting whatever number, 2, 3, 4, 5 evergreens. They don't have to be big now. You can get them, you know, meter tall if you want, affordable price. Make sure you're planting them well away from the house. Because ultimately these plants are going to be 40 feet tall and 20 feet wide. So recognize they have to be planted far from each other as well. So they'll grow up as a clump, as a stand of evergreens along that sort of northwest quadrant because that's your prevailing wind and that's the cold wind in the winter. On the south side of your house, on the other hand, if you can get yourself a nice deciduous tree like a sugar maple, a ginkgo, I love my katsura tree, something that's going to grow up quite quickly and give you shade in the summer, again, keeping your home cooler by shading it in the summer, but then the leaves drop in the fall and the sun gets through in the winter, so you've got the warm sun in the winter warming your house, but you've got the cool shade in the summer cooling your house. So the south side of the house, deciduous, northwest side, evergreen.
Now, on the south side of my property,
I have the septic tank and the weeping tile.
Right. So you have to, you know where that is, and you have to stay.
Yeah.
No trees go on top of, obviously. Though you can go just beyond the weeping tile, typically with trees. You just don't plant over top of the tile.
The roots won't stretch out to the weeping tile.
They will, but what's coming out of the weeping tile is supposed to be water, so they're just going to take the water. You know, it's not, you just don't want them, you know, don't be planting willow or poplar or something like that.
Not to do that, yeah. Living in the north.
Yeah, so that just because the roots are so vigorous that they will end up climbing, you know, growing right mm-hmm. into the tile. But, yeah, I mean, I'd have to double check exactly what the rules are on distance from edge of tile to trees. But as far as I know, generally speaking, as long as you're not on the tile, you're fine. You're just outside beyond.
Hey, this is great. I won't start planting next week, but maybe the week after.
Fingers crossed. I'm hoping for the same, that we're all thawed and ready to go.
Laughing out loud. Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you very much. hope you've got as good a day happening in Haldimand County as it seems to be. Well, there's a lot of blue sky out there.
Well, I guess it's a cool day. Mm-hmm. And lots of sun, I understand, way northwest part of the province, but I think it's kind of cloud and sun and scattered flurries everywhere else.
Yeah, you got it.
Including here.
Okay, let's go to Barry, let's say, huh? There's
Alrighty.
Pat. Good morning, Pat. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you very much. I have a cedar hedge that actually I live in a townhouse complex. It's probably about 25 years old. And the cedars are looking rather sad. They don't glow anymore. The foliage isn't shiny. They haven't really been looked after, and they get the hot sun all day long during the summer.
Mm-hmm. So they're probably pretty tall and scraggly.
Well, actually, they're not. I had them trimmed down 4 or 5 years, and then last summer again. They're about 6 feet.
Mm, okay. And is there foliage right down the entire hedge to the ground? Or is it naked at the bottom?
It's getting pretty thin.
Yeah. Okay. So your question is how to rejuvenate the hedge?
How to rejuvenate them, or is it worth, can they be rejuvenated?
Yeah, well, 25 years. I mean, cedars certainly live longer than 25 years, but it is all about that maintaining them yearly. And when we let them go for 10 or 15 years, and then all of a sudden we go, that's looking like it needs some work, then it can be a bit, take some time to kind of get them back to looking good and fresh and green and full. Because the point of a cedar hedge is to provide that privacy. We usually plant them so that they will, be full and green right to the bottom.
Right.
I was going to ask you a question. All right. How much sun is this hedge getting? Are there big trees over top of it at all?
No, there aren't. And the yard just gets the sun right from morning until night.
Okay. You know what? Probably two things are going to make a huge difference for you. One is, and this goes back to what I was just saying to Anne when she was calling about trimming her yew back. With older plants, whether it's evergreens, but particularly evergreens, one of the best things we can do for them, if we haven't done it, and we should do it every single spring or fall, is you go to your local, garden center and pick up some bags, or go to your local farmer and get a delivery of composted manure or whatever kind of high quality organic matter that you can incorporate. This is an amendment to our existing soil. So the soil does get tired. It gets depleted of nutrients. It gets thin. I mean, you look at I'm always amazed at the trees in downtown Toronto that are in all the side streets. And the soil is just like, you can tell it's like dust. I mean, there's no quality to it at all. And these big old trees are still hanging in there. One of the best things we can do for these older plants is get that soil juiced up, get some life into that soil, get some organic material. That what will happen, of course, is by providing the organic material, then the life comes. We get the bacteria, we get the worms, we get all kinds of action happening in our soil, and slowly but surely nutrients are released to our plants. So the plants love it, the life loves it, and it is a process. It's not a Miracle-Gro, blink and it's done, but it's a better long-term solution. Rather than pulling out the synthetic is concentrate on just getting, you don't even have to dig it in, just putting a half inch to an inch of nice, juicy organic material around that cedar hedge, the roots of that hedge, the length of the hedge and the width double of it on the surface. And you can, if you have a digging fork, if it's really hard soil, get your fork and just move the soil open, you know, sort of open up the soil a bit and get some air down in there, get some moisture down in there. Plant will love it. The cedar hedge and all hedges, remember, when they're being trimmed, if somebody's helping you with your pruning and trimming, make sure that they're, that the hedge is pruned narrower at the top and wider at the bottom. Not the opposite.
That's the typical thing, isn't it?
They were just cut across the top.
Okay, so the cutting the top will encourage width, which is fine, but now they need to be sheared so that they're narrower. See, there's more sun hitting the top, so you'll have more growth at the top, and plant the cedars tend to get wider at the top, shading the bottom. So when they start shading the bottom, now all of a sudden we're getting all scraggly and see-through at the bottom. So it's a very definitive shearing or pruning of the hedge, so just slightly wider along the bottom and narrow at the top, and it's fine if it's got kind of a curved top across the 6 foot height of the hedge. That's all fine, but it is a shaping thing. And again, I think you'll see with adding the compost, shaping the hedge properly, you'll get a whole bunch of new growth happening in there, and suddenly the hedge will look much better.
Okay, that's great.
Okay.
Thanks a lot for your help.
My pleasure.
Let us know.
What's the weather like up there in Barrie this morning, Pat?
It's snowing.
I knew you were going to say that.
Is that right?
It's been snowing for a couple hours now.
Are you going to get out there and shovel like that much snow?
No, not quite that much. Okay, but if it keeps going very long, I probably will, because there's a lot of ice underneath still.
Yes, exactly. Well, be careful. Yeah. And I'm sure the skiers are happy, but three more days. Wednesday, it's spring.
I'll be counting the sleep.
Exactly.
Okay. Thanks for joining us on this Saturday morning, Pat. So nice to have you along. And to anybody else, hey, the lines are open right now. As a matter of fact, we would love to receive a phone call from you in Toronto. If you'd like to ask Charlie a question or make a comment, here's the number, 416-360-0740. And then anywhere in the province, don't care where you are, White River, Rick up there in White River, hadn't heard from you in a long while, 1-866-740-4740.
Let me just tell you, for anybody in the Toronto area who might be a member, it's not expensive to be a member at the Toronto Botanical Gardens, and well worth it. I'm holding in my hand the program guide for winter and spring, and this is just chock full of amazing. Sometimes it's just a one-night event. For example, put on your calendar April the 4th, Thursday evening, April the 4th. Jay Cossey, who is a nature photographer and garden enthusiast, will demonstrate how to attract and support butterflies in our gardens and share his extensive collection of images detailing butterflies at all stages, which obviously would be very educational and fun to see. So that's part of the TBG lecture series. Now, with that lecture, a special lecture series, there is a cost to get in unless you're a member. So members are free. Members can bring friends for only $10. Students are with ID are only $12. But, you know, like I said, I think it's $20 a year to be a member.
Wow. Yeah. You're going to save that in extra goodies.
Because, then just going to the regular programming, they do have ongoing courses. So some of them will go on for a number of weeks, you know, every Monday and Tuesday night kind of thing. Yep. But I'm just looking at a brand new one here for this week, Wednesday, March 20th. So I guess next week, there's a brand new one-day event, Habitats for Pollinators and Beneficial Insects. So same kind of subject as the Cossey one. And this is Sean James, who will be instructing. And Sean, our listeners will know, and you've met Sean as well. But he was here when you were in Florida back in February. So again, this one does have a small cost attached, but there is just like all kinds. Growing native plants from seed, balcony container gardening, garden design 101, practical perennials, you know, sedges and grasses, to turn food waste into compost. It just goes on and on. So, and that's just the one small, that's two small pages. There's multi pages.
Okay, so, good tip.
So, yes, if you're looking for some fun educational opportunities, check out the TorontoBotanicalGarden.com.
All righty. Sandra from Etobicoke on the line. Good morning, Sandra. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Charlie, I'm going to have a problem, I think, with rabbits this year for the first time ever.
Oh, yeah, have you been seeing them in the garden?
Yes, also nice little tracks in the snow,
but we have actually seen them. Have you seen any damage to any of the trees or shrubs on your property, like bark missing?
Well, I can't really get to them at the moment.
Okay, so you're going to look closely when you can, because that's what, it's been a winter that the rabbits have been eating a lot of bark.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay, yes, well, I do have evergreens.
Yeah. Because what happens is they eat the bark all the way around in a ring that's called girdling, and that will kill the plants.
Okay, so is there something I can do to stop
that? What about
that?
Wire around the tree at
the base?
Can't
do it now. It's all ground is frozen.
Of course.
So, yeah, but in the fall, Frank is right, setting up like a little chicken wire type cylinder around the base. But, of course, that wire has to be... put down under the ground a little bit. And what happens, of course, is when it snows, the rabbits travel on top of the snow. So, and if we have like 2 feet of snow, all of a sudden the rabbits are 2 feet up the stems. So if we are doing that chicken wire cylinder, we don't just make it a short little 6-inch thing. It's got to be, 3 feet or a meter tall to truly protect. At this time, so you're seeing all their little tracks. Just trying to think I'm not sure why, but I have certainly seen a lot of rabbits all of a sudden. But, it is the circle of life, right?
Yep.
Rabbit population goes up, hawk population goes up, rabbit population goes down, hawk population goes down. Like, all these populations go together. And
well,
if there's
a lot. We do have hawks as well, but I've never actually seen rabbits in our garden. There is a park across the road, so, it's possible that's where
they could be hanging out there. And also the coyotes. They do a good job controlling the rabbits. That's one of the things that. Remember hearing the horticulturalist who runs. Fort York Gardens, just here down right at the Bentway, and the whole family of coyotes in the garden last spring with babies, and the little babies were out frolicking on the lawns and being like little puppies, right? And the public was loving it, and the horticulturalist was asked by the media, what are you going to do about those coyotes? Like, you want to get rid of them? And he went, are you kidding? I love these coyotes. They totally control the rabbits would be eating the gardens. So it's one of those things. But what's just going to come to mind quickly, there is a product called Plant Skid. So it's one word, plant, P-L-A-N-T, and then S as in Sam, K as in
Katie,
thank you. I was going to say Keenan, my son. Y, and then D-D, so D as in Dobbin twice, Plant Skid. This is a repellent, something that you spray onto plants to repel deer, rabbits, voles, and small critters. It's completely organic. It has been, it's most effective. It's long-lasting. It was developed, I believe, in Finland to control elk. And turns out it controls everything.
Wow, isn't that something?
Yeah, okay. So it's very well recommended. And I have seen it for sale at, you're from Etobicoke. So Sheridan Nursery for sure will have it. You may even find it at a Home Depot or a Canadian Tire. And they are probably at this time of year getting all that stuff out onto the shelf.
Right. So can I use that on vegetables?
Yes, as far as I know, because just looking at the pamphlet, is it safe to use? Can I use this on my vegetables? Yes. It is safe for use in protecting vegetables, legumes, fruit, and other food crops from animal browse damage.
Because that's what I was worried about, them just nibbling all the new growth as we start to plant vegetables and bulbs.
And that would be available at most garden centers.
Yeah, it should be available at any good garden center. And of course, how often do I need to treat my plants? Always treat new growth until the plant has reached full size or leaf out. So it is a liquid formulation, lasts up to 6 months over the winter on dormant plants, and 3 to 4 months during the active growing season, because the new growth won't have been treated. And of course, the rabbits or deer could nibble on new growth.
So rain wouldn't wash it off.
No, it's not. It's rain. It's impermeable to rain, apparently.
Wow.
So give it a try.
I will indeed. Thank you so much.
Thanks
calling.
Sandra. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Have a great day. We have to take another little break here, but the lines are still open, of course. 416-360-0740 in Toronto. Anywhere in the province, it's toll-free. 1-866-744-740. And when we come back, which will be very shortly, we're going to be saying hi to Brenda in Dundas, Ontario.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
All righty, Charlie, let's say hi to Brenda in Dundas, Ontario. Good morning, Brenda.
Yeah, good morning, guys. I have a question about a little Kalanko.
Kalancho, yep.
Kalanko.
Or Kalanko, some, you know, Koe, sometimes people pronounce it.
Okay. Anyway, somebody gave it to me way back, probably around Christmas time or before. Mm-hmm. And when the flowers, when those all those little bunchy flowers died, mm-hmm. I cut back the stem. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether I did the right thing. And I thought, well, I'll keep it for the leaves anyway. Mm-hmm. So lo and behold, it started to grow again. Mm-hmm. And I've got this long, tall stem, mm-hmm. and I've got flowers again.
Mm-hmm.
On
good.
The top. Now, my question is, when these flowers die, do I cut the stem, this long stem back, or do I just cut the top? What do I do with it?
So Kalancho is an interesting plant. It's great. You're having good success getting flowers in the winter. It means you've obviously got it in a perfect location in your house. Oh. Lots and lots of sun, and obviously only watering when absolutely necessary. Mm. But what it does is, when you buy them, they've got these nice little sort of beautifully formed flowers, and they're coming yellow and pink and orange. They're super bright and cheerful. You're seeing them in all the grocery stores at this time of year because they're just a really nice indoor plant, bright, cheerful. When a flower finishes, instead of new flowers coming from below, the new flowers actually come from beyond, which is what you found, that when you took off the flower stem, a new flower stem grew, and it's longer, and now it's sending out flowers. And so it's always challenging. Like, how do you ever deadhead a Kalancho? Because you feel like when you're deadheading it, you're taking off new stuff, and yet it looks kind of ugly with the old stuff.
Yeah.
So what I try and do is I just try and sort of leave them alone for a couple of weeks, and then every now and then go in there with a pair of scissors and just selectively take out the dead, dried up, you know, sort of tissuey old flowers, for cleaning up purposes.
Yeah, there's brown leaves and things. Yeah.
Yeah, brown leaves you can take off any time.
Right.
But the little brown crispy flowers can also just be, you know, sort of taken out. But if you do a whole scale like we would normally do, deadhead the plant, now all of a sudden you're going to say, oh, where'd all my flowers go? Like,
yeah.
They're not there anymore. Whoa. So
what do I do about this great long stem when these flowers die?
Just enjoy the stem. When the flowers die, mm-hmm. Look closely. Look to see new buds should be forming lower on the plant. Down.
I can see them. Yeah.
In the what we call the leaf axle, so where the leaf joins the main stem, you should see some little buds starting to form in there. So when this long stem with the flowers on it is completely crispy, mm-hmm. just with your scissors, remove from where it's growing from.
And leave the little things that are growing at the bottom.
Exactly, because that's going to come back up and give you more flowers.
All right, now then, can I put it outside in the spring?
Definitely. Once we're frost free, it's going to be very happy outside.
Is it one of those, like what you call a succulent? Is it
yes.
like hot sun?
I've had my best success with those outside in the summer in actually a fairly shady location.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, they will take the sun if you want to, but you have to slowly move them into the sun. Start them in the shade once we're frost-free, give them a week or two in a shady spot, and then over a period of a number of weeks, slowly more sun, more wind, more real world, and then you won't burn the leaves. So if you go straight into the sun, you'll just get all kinds of sunburn.
Okay. Thank you.
Good stuff.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Brenda.
Right. Bye.
Bye-bye now. Have a great day. Thank you for joining us here.
For sure.
It's The Garden Show. We're on the air from Zoomer Radio, AM 740, broadcasting live and direct from the Zoomerplex in Liberty Village. I got a cute story from this past Thursday morning. Mm-hmm. I was in the station rather early doing some work, and the morning crew, Neil, Sam, and Jane, said, "Hey, Frankie, we want you to come into the studio about 20 to 9. I said, "Yeah, sure. What's going on?" "Well, no, Larry McGinnis, our program director, has a little story that you're going to enjoy because you're kind of part of the story." I said, "Well, okay, fine." So we'll get him in there. And Larry, they conferenced him in on the phone. And he was telling a story about what happened the day before on the Wednesday, last Wednesday. Mm-hmm. He and Moses were over at the MZ Television Museum,
right.
which is in our complex here. And, of course, being March break, a lot of tours going through, kids, you know, right. so forth. And a young fellow, they found out later, was 11 years of age, but he approached Moses. And he said, "Hi, Mr. Znaimer. I just want to tell you that I love AM 740 radio."
Oh,
well,
wow.
Moses said, Well, isn't that nice? What do you like about it? What is it? She said, I love the morning show. They tell the great jokes and have fun and play great music. And I love theater of the mind.
Oh, and wow. Moses said,
wait a minute.
That's on theater, like midnight.
That's on at 10 o'clock at night. Yeah. Do your parents let you stay up to? And the kid says, well, no, I listen in my bedroom.
Under the covers,
oh,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
But we're trying to get a hold of him.
That's so great.
We're trying to get a hold of this
young man. An 11-year-old fan.
Yeah.
And he's not a Zoomer by any means.
No,
he's not a millennial.
He's listening to all these shows from the 40s and the early 50s,
but
you
that's
know?
The best. I love radio theater.
Yeah.
It's all in your mind. Like, well, theater of the mind.
Right.
It's all what you know,
exactly.
The creativity.
Yeah.
It's what you envision.
Now, so what we want is to try and find out that young man, to get him into the stage. We'll treat him for a whole day. He'll be king of the day, you know, and introduce him to all the announcers and all that sort of stuff and just have a great time.
He'd probably love that.
So if you happen to be a mom or dad tuned in to the Garden Show and you think, that little son of a gun, I know he does that. You get a hold of us here at Zoomer Radio.
And
you
can what would be the number to call?
Yeah, actually, what you do is send me an email. That'd be terrific. Yeah. F.Proctor. That's P-R-O-C-T-O-R at mzmedia.com, okay?
Or, mzmedia is one word.
That's right.
.com.
Yeah. And just tell me who the kid is so we can get in touch. We want to get this young fella and recognize him.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay.
That's
there
cool.
You go. We are up to our next break here, Charlie. So the lines are continuing to be open here, 416-360-0740. Anywhere in the province, toll free, 1-866-740-4740. Back in a mo.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Charlie, we're going to take a little trip to Oshawa right now. There's Philip. Good morning, Philip. Welcome to the show.
Hi there. Yeah, you had a lady on with cedars. I have a really quick tip.
Yeah.
Years ago, a neighbor bought a horticultural, you know, emerald cedars.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a great big hedge of eastern white cedars. Well, his started to turn brown, and then mine started to.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found out it was eastern white cedar borers in the leaves. And I went to a garden center, and they had some experts there that day. They said this, you can't buy anything now.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, what I found is if you, about June the 20th here, the little moths come out.
Right.
Now, if you spend a week spraying your cedars with soapy water
to kill the moths,
you can wipe them out.
Right.
And it's you know, it's not very, it's easy to do, not that harmful.
Mm-hmm.
And it could, because they seem to be spreading everywhere. So anyhow, just to tip the lady that had the cedars, they often look ratty because they have, if you open up the leaves, you'll see the tiny little caterpillars inside the leaves.
And you'll see tunnels. If you don't see the little larva, you'll see that the stem, but it's in the tips, like you said.
Yeah, where you pull off the little brown piece.
Yeah.
You see a little. But anyhow, I found it really effective. All the cedars recovered.
That's great, yeah. And the soap works for sure. And you were obviously spraying
just
the adults.
I just use, you know, any old palm olive or whatever dish soap.
Really?
In a hose end sprayer.
Right. Yeah, and you got a thorough coverage of the insect.
Would you suggest safer soap?
Soap is better than a detergent, technically, to kill the insects. But the main thing is you kept them from laying eggs.
You know what? It works fine.
Yeah.
I got like 120 feet of cedars.
Yeah,
it works great.
Good tip.
Okie dokie.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Philip.
I hope Pat is listening. Because what it is these little borers, moths, mm-hmm. lay eggs on the little tips of the cedar leaves, and then the eggs hatch, and they hatch into little worms, right, or larvae, and they start tunneling inside. So you see the death of the cedar on the tips. So it's not on the inside, it's all on the outside
mm-hmm.
edges. And that's one of the giveaways, that you've got the borers.
Oh, okay,
and then, like Philip just said, you can break off that foliage and look, it'll be hollow. The stems will be hollow.
You know, we've come up with at the houses pantry moths. And they are son of a gun to get rid of.
That you have to empty the pantry
and just wash it out.
Yep,
completely.
You have to take, because I've had this before too. So every box of crackers, because even unopened boxes with plastic bags inside, like oatmeal or flour.
Yeah.
They could be in there. The only thing they're not in would be jars that are sealed tight,
right,
or plastic that's sealed, you know, Tupperware that's sealed tight.
Oh, surely, I'm afraid.
Yeah, it's a big, it's a lot of tossing. It's the only way you can get rid of them. You have to go through absolutely everything and likely to- and if in doubt, toss.
Well, yeah, we've got little cards that attract them, and but yeah, they keep multiplying.
They're there.
You know,
they're in the grains somewhere.
Oh, Lordy. Yeah.
You know what happened to me one time? I was given for a Christmas or birthday some bird seed that are, it's kind of a cool, these cylinders that I use out in the garden. And I had two or three of the cylinders just sitting on a shelf near my back door. Mm. And it turned out they came with some insects that obviously it was, you know, an error on the part of the bird seed store and they apologized profusely. But suddenly I had things flying around. I was like, where are they coming from? And I went right, you know, to my flour and my crackers. Yep. But there was no evidence of insects anywhere near the grains. So then now I was chasing the moths down to see where they were coming from and finally realized they were coming from the bird seed. Always keep that out in the garage.
Okay. You know, I'm surprised you haven't heard my tummy rumble.
You're hungry.
I'm really starving.
You're hungry because it's my turn to buy.
That's probably right.
I think it's completely
steak
connected.
And eggs. That
no,
really...
I think dry toast will be good for you. extra jam. You can have extra jam.
Most people know. Charlie and I, we rehash the show by going over to the Grenadier restaurant.
Rehash entire week, actually.
Yeah, at High Park. And I'm just wondering how long it's going to be before they open up the tables outside. Mm-hmm. You know, won't be all that long, maybe.
But I think it's more of a summer thing than then it ends up being hot.
Yeah, so, exactly. You
know, it's kind of one of those things.
Yeah.
Just before we go, because I know we don't have much time left, I've got a nice little sort of a flyer that came from the Home Garden Seed Association, and it's 5 good reasons to grow your garden from seed. Okay, 5 good reasons. Number one, you'll have many more choices, and that's true. Go to buy tomato starter plants. Yeah, what do you get, 10 choices? You do realize that in terms of the tomato choices out there, there are 853 choices.
Really?
If you grow from seed.
Oh, man.
You can control quality when you grow your own seeds. You are the goddess, the god in control of this growing. You know that they're being watered properly, transplanted properly, cared for appropriately. Growing from seed is easier than anything else. You will save money big time if you grow from seed. And bottom line, it's fun to do.
Well, there you are. Yeah.
So 5 good reasons to grow from seed.
You know, I was thinking about one of our callers a number of weeks ago called in and asked about getting a planter, or at least a gardening on a stand.
Mm-hmm. Like a raised.
Raised garden. That really is dandy for people who have mobility problems.
Absolutely. Well, any of us appreciate gardening at standing or waist height or just below waist height. It's absolutely optimal. And you're seeing more and more of those pre-made, you know, like a trough, like a, you know, feed the cattle or the horses trough, but designed for gardening. And they'll often have a wonderful sort of self-watering system in the bottom. I see a couple of them right now available in Costco. And they're obviously out there in the garden centers as well. Balcony gardeners, just doesn't get better than that, to have that kind of a beautiful, nice, deep, but put some good, proper soil mix into your container gardens.
I'm looking forward, as a matter of fact, to my show this afternoon, live in the city from 1 to 3:30. At some point around, I think, 1:45, hopefully I'm going to have a visit from John McDermott. And I want to talk to him about a wonderful project he's got going at Sunnybrook Hospital for the veterans.
Oh, really?
It's marvelous. And so we'll be talking more about that.
Is it a garden thing? Because, you know, they have some beautiful gardens at Sunnybrook for the veterans.
Well, there you go.
They have a big hort therapy program there.
Well, we'll mention that too. Yeah. But we'll definitely play one of his most famous recordings, that of Danny Boy, in honor of St. Paddy's Day tomorrow.
That's a good point. Happy St. Paddy's to everybody tomorrow. Be careful of the green beer. It's always a bit scary. Thank you, Frank. Thanks, Sebastian. Charlie. Thank you to all our great callers. See you again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.